Welcome back. I'm Julie Glenn. This is Gulf Coast Live. According to the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network, known as RAIN, just over 11% of all students are raped or sexually assaulted on campus. And among undergraduates, that percentage is a staggering 23% of women and 5% of men. In fact, women between the ages of 18 to 24 are four times more likely to be assaulted than women in all other age groups, which is why the Lee County Sheriff's Office is working at prevention by training teenage girls between the ages of 15 and 18 on how to avoid adding to these statistics. The course is called RAPID, which is an acronym for Respond to a Dangerous Situation by Assessing Your Surroundings, Protecting Yourself, Identify Defensive Strategies, and Defensive Application as a Last Resort. Staff Officer Scott Griffith is here in studio to talk about this program with us. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
We're talking about a training course for teenage girls to identify and handle potentially dangerous situations. Do you have a question or a comment? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Officer Scott Griffith, this is the second time the course has been held. How was the response to the first time around?
Well, I can tell you that we were packed full the first time. We held the second one, and within weeks, as I understand it, that one was full, and we've now had to move over and do another one. And from what I understand, that one's almost full as well.
So you've added a third one, and it's already full.
Mm-hmm.
Are you surprised by that kind of response?
No, not really. I think that a lot of folks out there are looking to become more educated with things that they can do, and what better place to have that information come from than the Lee County Sheriff's Office.
Well, you would know. And we learned about this program when it first was offered back in April. Was there anything happening in our community or at the Lee County Sheriff's Office that kind of spurred you on to offer this kind of a program?
No, not in particular. I think that, as you know, Sheriff Scott's big on training, whether it has to do with our own personnel or with the public at large. In order for us to continue to safeguard and preserve the people that live and work here and they're coming to visit here, I think that's, just makes sense to continue to do these kind of things.
So what do you feel like when you walk into a room that's full of these young girls and they're looking at you for advice on how to not be attacked? What does that feel like?
Well, fortunately for me, I had a daughter. And so I knew full well what parents think about. And even though I've been in law enforcement for well over 35 years, my wife is retired law enforcement, as was my father. I had all that information, but still she was getting it as well. But you still felt like, what am I doing? What more can I do? And it actually started with her. I really when I started doing defensive tactics and things of that nature and teaching all along, I would constantly think about that. So, eventually things started to manifest into what different things are we teaching some of the kids, whether it's your 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, all the way up. And specifically for me, that was because of my daughter. So when I walk into a room now and I see a bunch of girls, it's not necessarily that I see my daughter, but I think about those things, that there's moms out there with their kids, and I know how they feel. So we try to put that at ease a little bit more in your mind when I'm in there, obviously, and some of the other instructors, because we know, like I said, we have parents, we have kids. So that's what kind of I think about. That's a long answer to it, I guess.
No, I mean, it's interesting because it's an emotional component to this. You're looking at people who are getting ready to, sending a doe-eyed young girl off into the wilderness. You want to arm her with as much as you can.
Right.
So I want to take a look at the different steps. First, the first letter is R, which is responding, but you start by assessing your surroundings. What do you tell girls to look for and be aware of?
Well, again, starting with responding, that is really to get moving here, okay? You hear shots, you hear a loud commotion, there's some type of critical incident. It's time to start snapping around and to start thinking about some different things. When we move to the assessing part of it, assessing is more of, okay, is it safe to go to the left? Is it safe to go to the right? Can I run? Can I walk? Should I be hiding? Where am I hearing the location of whatever it is that's coming out, whether it's loud noises, sounds, gunshots, whatever that might be? And then when you go into protect, now we're thinking about, okay, well, if I do run to the left, well, where am I going to go? If I do decide to stay in this particular room, how much more can I do to protect myself inside this room? What can I do to secure this room even better? And then, of course, as we move on to identify defenses – That's once I get to this location, what do I need to do if I come to that last resort? Well, I'm going to have to defend myself or maybe others. So that's where we come from with RAPID. Respond, assess, protect, identify defenses.
So – and I'm imagining, you know, sending a teenage girl off to college. Uh-huh. And sometimes these dangerous situations don't present themselves as obviously as hearing a gunshot fire. Sometimes you're sitting at a casual frat party or whatever. No offense to fraternities. But you're sitting there at a regular party.
Sure.
And you may be in a dangerous situation. How do you identify when things are getting tenuous or when things are getting dangerous?
Well, you know, we do talk about that with the RAPID class because we give different types of scenarios which we feel, you know, have come up on more than one occasion. It's like you're saying, you know, you're at a party or maybe even downtown and maybe somebody's had a little bit too much to drink or maybe they haven't and they've decided to close distance on you. You know, once you see that that's happening, there are certain steps that you should be taking and certain things that you should be thinking about right now, and RAPID would apply to that. And we go through all of those as that takes place.
So you said close distance. What does that mean? Getting too close?
Yeah. Let's just say, you know, like you know, we're in a room together and you and I are maybe 3 feet apart. And then the next thing you know, I've got – I'm
six inches away.
Yeah. And so now what am I going to do? You know, what should I be doing or thinking about to do in order for me to either create some distance, feel safe again, and move to a safer environment, wherever that might be?
Yeah, and then also to ignore the voice in your head saying, oh, it's just a close talker. Oh, don't make a big deal out of it. That's kind of a problem that a lot of girls find themselves in, that they're just going to kind of like accept things or make excuses for it so they don't have to confront a situation.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. And that's another component that we wanted to bring to the RAPID, and that is a leadership component. We're saying to the ladies, hey, look, you're not going to be a victim and you don't have to be a victim. And you can also have some strength there. And when you start to realize that there are some other things that maybe you can do if one of these situations should present itself, it is empowering, number one. And number two, it gives you that sense of confidence. And maybe if others are around, they see the same thing. And that's what we want to do too. We want to continue to sow those seeds so that on a different day, a different field, other people will bear the fruits of victory.
And completely philosophizing on the status of women or how women have been evolving, it seems like women are having – I don't want to say all of them, but it seems a little easier to be able to stand your ground and say, no, back off. Before, it seems like 20, 25, 30 years ago, people would be women would be less likely to feel strong enough to say that.
I don't know the answer to that.
I think so. But giving them these kinds of classes like this really kind of helps to give them that kind of feeling of
power.
There's
no question about it. Everybody that's come through this class have had nothing but great things to say, and they ask for more. And that's a great thing on our behalf and just a testament to instructors that we have there.
Mm-hmm. So the flyer lists the defensive application, the D in the RAPID, as a last resort.
Yes.
Why would defending yourself be as a last resort?
Well, you know, we say that to begin with, but maybe you become in a situation where it's not the last resort. But most people are not trained to fight. They are not trained to be tactical and strategize about different things that could be happening. The other thing is, too, is that as human beings, I don't think anybody really wants to think about taking somebody's life. I mean, I know I certainly don't, and I'm in law enforcement, and that possibility exists every day. You know, we all believe in the sanctity of life. So that's another hard component of it. But I think when we're saying at the end to think about that is that, okay, it is that last resort. Yes, you're right. It could become a first resort if you're in one of those positions. But how now do I best do that? And again, we cover different things that has to do with defending yourself. And we have mindset, number one. I mean, you have to have the right mindset in order to carry this out. Number two, we have to think about different things about a person when we're going to attack them, their physical shape, size, stature, so on and so
forth.
Weak spots. Mm-hmm. And then we have to think about, okay, if there's something there that I could possibly use besides my hands, my feet, my knees, my legs, and if I have multiple people there, can they help me in this too? So all those things are addressed with RAPID on the defend portion of it.
Mm-hmm. So what can somebody expect when they go to the class? They're going to be in desks for the first part, learning kind of the mental processes, and then do they get up and actually try to act out any of this?
Oh, well, the first part of it, we sit down and we go through a bunch of things that have to do with awareness. And we talk about different things that happen to you once you get into a critical incident. And we lay out some scenarios that are pretty common for folks. And then after that, we move. Usually takes the next couple of hours where the practical applications of those things that we talked about are now we put you to that test. So you get to actually stand up there in front of instructors. We have bags up there. And we do the techniques with you.
How do they react? Are they kind of shy at first?
No.
No, they just go,
they
go
love
to town.
It. They love it. You love it. And I tell you, matter of fact, there's been a couple of times where instructors holding the bags, you know, said, oh, can you slow down here a little bit. Now, you know.
Slow your roll, young lady. You're kind of hurting me.
It's amazing.
So I remember last time you were here when you talked about run, hide, fight in case of a shooting incident or other kind of an attack. And you talked a lot about getting one's mind in a state of constant alertness to be ready to respond correctly in unexpected situations. I remembered that from that show. But does rapid training kind of help a girl set herself up for that same kind of response when faced with a potential attacker, just getting their mind in that mode?
I think it does. I know that, you know, with Run, Hide, Fight, we're constantly talking about the what if. And, you know, I know you can what if yourself to death. But I always say you need to what if those things that you know are going through on a daily basis. If you know you're going out, there is some what ifs there. If I'm at a party, is it a large party, a large room, or is it an outside gathering? How am I getting there? Is it by my vehicle? Am I walking? Am I walking with more than one person? All those things start to come into play, and those are what ifs right there. So I do think you can do that no matter what it is, no matter what the situation is, and I do think it's applicable.
Always look over your shoulder and be aware. So college has long been known as a bastion for teenage binge drinking and people blacking out or becoming otherwise incapacitated. So would all this training be for nothing if alcohol gets involved, or can some of this sort of stick after you've had a few drinks?
Well, there's no question that whenever alcohol is involved, there are some things that are going to set in and some things that aren't going to be as good. So the one thing that I do know to be true is that if you take the rapid class and you get through it, and most everybody gets through it, they all come out and they want more. And I think that it does is it sets something in stone there with you that says, you know what, one, I don't have to be a victim. And two, if I start to practice and start to do some of these things and start to think about what if these scenarios and these situations arise, I will be better equipped to do that.
And having that kind of confidence walking into and something might maybe, hopefully, cause someone to think twice about over-drinking or make them at least want to make a plan to be in better control.
I would think so.
Is there any like practical advice as far as when you're going to a party, having, you know, friends set up, having people check on you, make sure you get home if you're going to walk home by yourself? Do you give that type of advice too for girls?
Sure. I mean, you know, we let folks – you should always be letting people know where you're going for the most part. I mean, if I'm leaving to go somewhere, I'm going to be gone for a long period of time and somebody needs to get a hold of me for whatever that might be. It's obviously a good idea to let them know where the heck you're going to be and how they can get a hold of you. And I think that goes with anything, no matter
yeah,
what.
Yeah, but, you know, kids when they're 18, 19, they just think they're bulletproof, you know?
Well,
I mean, I'm older. I'm in my 40s.
Sure.
But, I mean, I still check in and tell people where I'm going to be and when I'm going to get somewhere. But when you're young, you just kind of just don't think anything's going to happen to you. But I guess after going to one of these classes, and maybe if parents get their girls into one of these types of classes, those girls might be a little bit more aware of what dangers are out there.
And, you know, and you bring up a great point. You know, when you're standing up there with some of the instructors who can – and we do some demonstrations that show you how vulnerable you can be when you're not paying attention to certain things, even though you think you are. It really jogs something in your mind going, you know what? I do need to rethink my position on that. So you're right. And I do think that that does have that effect on them.
So what do you hope to see on these girls' young faces at the end of the program? When they come in, they might look a little bit nervous or scared. What do you like to see when they're leaving?
I got – most of the time that when we're standing there, and again, there's multiple instructors. So they're all coming up. They're shaking our hands. They're looking at us dead in the eye and saying, thank you very much. Are you guys going to do anything else? If you guys are going to do something else, please let us know how that's going to come out, whether it's – you know, you guys put it on Facebook, whatever it's going to be. And that is a lot of it. I mean, it just we're constantly getting that no matter what.
I'm just surprised. Well, I guess I'm not surprised, but it's quite an outpouring of support for this. I mean, it was completely filled up in no time. The second one filled up in no time. Now you got to do a third one. Is this probably going to become a regular thing for the sheriff's office?
Well,
I mean, are you going to get into the business of classes and teaching young girls to take care of themselves?
Well, I think the more and more people that we get – that are doing those kind of things that can help us continue to, you know, be safe out there. When everybody starts to look at it that way, we will be one of the safest counties in the state of Florida, and that's what we're looking at. And we want our kids to be safe. We want the people who live here to be safe where they work, and those people that are coming here to visit. And I can assure you, Sheriff Scott wants everybody to be safe.
Yeah, even if they leave Lee County to go to college.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there, but I want to thank our guest, Staff Officer Scott Griffith with the Lee County Sheriff's Office. Thanks so much for coming in today, and thanks for teaching this class to our girls.
Thank you.
Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.